4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Maal, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. And you'll remember that the queen of Sheba also came to see if he was as wise as what she had heard. And after she heard him, she said, "The half hath not been told me." Solomon was a wise man. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 with me. And I'll begin reading with verse number 1 down through verse 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now Solomon had a good heart, and God gave him what he asked for, the ability to rightly judge the nation as a king and to do right before God. And this pleased the Lord. He gave Solomon wisdom that exceeded all of the wisdom of men. But God has promised that we can have his wisdom also. If you want to turn there, or you've got it on your notes, James chapter 1 and verse 3. James chapter 1. Verse 5 is where I want to begin. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we can pray and ask God to give us wisdom, but we need to be people of faith. We need to believe God will answer our prayer because he has told us to pray and to ask for wisdom. About Proverbs, one author wrote, they're short, pithy maxims that are capsules of truth. Many of them are a particular type of expression that are in two sentences and two lines of one sentence. Proverbs is a Hebrew word, mishlei, and it comes from a root word, meshal, meaning to rule. These are words and sayings that we rule or govern our lives by. They're practical truths that tell us why and how we should rule our desires, and how we should be warned about all of the things we're going to face in life with the problems of living the Christian life. Now, these are fixed guidelines that are unchanging. They're like weights and measures. God's Word says something. It is real. It is truth. It doesn't change with time. And chapter 1, verse 2 through 6, Solomon tells us why he writes that to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And he begins to explain why he has written. Knowledge here means eternal truth and instruction. Wisdom means skill, the ability to use knowledge for its greatest intended purpose and for its most spiritual good. God gave wisdom to Solomon. He gave wisdom in skills to many people in the Old Testament, with Aaron and those who made the tabernacle and who had craftsmanship to make the things of the tabernacle and the temple. God gave a particular skill set that was very specially given by God that they would know how to do things. The same with those in Exodus 36:1, with those that made the tabernacle. Those are God-given abilities, wisdom. God wants us to come to Christ and be saved, but then to build on that foundation so that we live for God 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. And that's going to take the skill set that God can give us by issuing His wisdom. I hope you're pleased with us tonight, Lord. I'm hearing that. To grow through the Word, to have wisdom and understanding, and to make right choices. Solomon had wisdom to understand good from bad, from righteousness from evil. And he understood it in ways when people would try to deceive him, that he couldn't be deceived. He was wise enough to overlook it. When the women came and complained about the mother was going to give her child to be eaten and all that sort of thing, you know, and Solomon said, well, let's divide the baby in half. And then the real mother said, no, you give her the baby, you know. Then he said, this is the mother. She's the one that was willing to give up the child rather than to see it slain. And that wisdom is talked about throughout the world as the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was a ruler. He was the son of Israel's greatest king, David. His mother was Bathsheba, that David married after he sent her husband into battle and he was killed, and the baby, by the relationship he had with her, died. Then he married Bathsheba, and then Solomon was born. And we, like him, are children of the King. We are also sons of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We are royalty in the eyes of God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So God has made us a part of his family, and behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so that's what we've done when we got saved. We believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God hath declared us a part of his family. And we are the children of God. We are now in a royal bloodline, and we have certain responsibilities because of that, to live for God and to learn his word and to obey him, because he is our Father, and also because he is God who knows all that is right, and all his instructions are for our good and for our learning. We don't always understand what God is doing for us and how he's leading us, but when God does, it is for our best. When God sets up prohibitions, he doesn't do it to cause our life to be miserable. He does it to protect us from the dangers that are ahead, and so he prohibits us doing certain things, just like as he prohibited Adam and Eve in the garden not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God prohibits many things. His word teaches us the wrongness of alcohol and drugs and illicit relationships. And we see people who violate those teachings and who have great distress in their lives and great harm to other people because they disobey God and think it won't apply to them. And we seek to live for God and to treat His word as the supreme truth that it really is. Now, before we get back to verse 1 through 6, I want you to look at verse 7 because it gives us the start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 7 gives us this great truth that we need. The fear of the Lord is not a phobia like fear of snakes or fear of heights or something like that. It is reverence, that we are in awe before God because of His power and His majesty and His authority. And when men have come into the presence of God, they have often fallen down before Him to worship Him and have recognized His great power. The Hebrew word fear comes from two different words, the root word, and it means to revere. We're not to take God's word casually, but we're to be in awe that this is the word of God. Brother Jerry mentioned something about this in his message on Sunday night about recognizing the importance of the word of God and not to take it lightly. Men who came in contact with God were smitten with God's holiness and God's power. As we hear the thunders and the lightning tonight, Moses and the people saw that on the mountain when God called Moses to come up, and the people said, "Hey, you go. We'll stay here. You go up." They were afraid. They didn't want to go up there. Their own sin convicted them of not going into the presence of the Lord. God's holiness and our own sinfulness comes into being when we get close to the Lord. We see Jesus taught how we are to approach our Father with praise, with acknowledgement of His holiness, with seeking His will, that He has the authority to rule His kingdom and that He has granted us to be a part of that. Our dependence upon Him for our daily needs and for our forgiveness. We recognize how dependent we are upon God. If you've ever been without money, without food, if you've ever been without health, and you were totally dependent upon God and you prayed and God came through, sometimes in a miraculous way, to supply the need. He's able to do that. He does do that. And we are all dependent upon Him all the time. But unless you're without, you don't think about it to the degree that you do if you're in that situation. We are dependent upon Him. And we have a responsibility from Him, if He forgives us, to forgive others who have sinned against us. Now this is our starting point, to have the awe and reverence and declaration of who God is as we look into His word to gain His wisdom in these things. Verse 2 through 4, the reason Solomon wrote. Solomon knew we had to have a relationship with God that required to obtain His understanding of His word, that we would have to be spiritual people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 through 15, Paul spoke to the Corinthian church about this same thing. Chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Get this now, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That word judging is referring to discernment, just as Solomon wrote, to have discernment between good and bad, between righteousness and evil. To understand, it requires a spiritual person to have spiritual discernment to know right from wrong and good from evil. To have the skill of wisdom to judge or discern, or have discretion to make right choices. Proverbs teaches us how to live and how to act or respond by moral wisdom and mental intellectual maturity. As a growing spiritual Christian, we are spiritually maturing and we make better decisions than we did when we first got saved. And we make a lot better decisions than we did before we got saved by God's grace. We find in believing God's truth the way to spiritual and intellectual maturity. If we follow His instructions, we have the tool for wisdom. People often think God's word is an option that they can take or leave. Now, God's people don't think that. We know we're dependent upon God's word. But many in the world take it or leave it. Or they give a nod of assention to, yeah, that's God's word, but then they don't apply it in any way to their daily life. We all need to apply it more so that it controls our decision-making process. Psalm 19, 7 through 11, and Psalm 119, many of those verses around verse 130, those all make reference to the Word of God being the light for our path, being our guide, and it is the Word that has the power for creation and understanding and righteousness and all these things. I put down on our outline here that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a good verse to memorize, two verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It is good to commit verses to memory. If you haven't done that in a while, it's good you write them out on a 3x5 card. Take them with you when you go for a walk, or take them with you when you got a break at work, and read over them again. It's good to read them out loud if you have the privacy to do that. And commit them to memory, because they help guide your life in your decision-making process. Back in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1, instruction is a discipline which involves judgment and equity. Justice means to come up to God's standard. Now, that's where we have a big problem in the world today. Is the world is throwing off God's standard and elevating man's standard instead of God's. They're determining what is right for them and what is wrong for them, not what God says is right and wrong. But God's standard is always what is right. And as Christians, we stay with God's standard. What God says in His Word is wrong and sinful and wicked is always going to be that way. That's not going to change. And it's important that we learn His Word and obey it. The unsaved world rejects God's Word today. One of these groups has been doing all this picketing and breaking into places and beating up people in the street and all that sort of thing. Out in Portland, I believe it was, they put a Bible in the middle of the road and poured something on it and burned the Bible. And that's an attitude that a lot of people have in the world today. They reject God. They reject His teaching because it tells them what they do not want to hear. Their unrighteousness is pointed out. They're like the old king in Jeremiah's day that took the pen knife, and every time he read a leaf of Jeremiah's prophecy, he took the knife and cut it out and put it in the fire. And that's what the world does with the Word of God. They cut out the parts they don't like. They try to change the parts that they don't like. Social righteousness is according to God's standard. And we are to love one another, be kind to one another, compassionate of one another, and just with one another. But God is always true and right. We treat others in the way that we like to be treated is what Jesus taught as the golden rule. The word equity means to be straight. It could apply to integrity. And Christians today should always have integrity. Just saying we're a Christian doesn't give a testimony. What gives a testimony is how we live. We all fall short in that. But that should be our goal, is to be people of morality and integrity that honors God and follows His word. Honesty and uprightness, and gives us good judgment. Now verse 4 and 5, Proverbs chapter 1. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs and all of God's word give the ability of the inexperienced to have wisdom to make right choices. Many of the unsaved people in the world, they do not know how to apply God's word. They just look at God's word like reading a poem or something, and they don't know any application for it in their daily life. And if they find application because someone has said, you shouldn't do that, the Bible says, well, then they don't want to hear that, and they do not want it to be applied to them. They have no ability to say no to the temptations of the world, no to the allurements that the world passes their way. Materialism, how they dress, the celebrity atmosphere of our world today. There are foolish decisions that young people and uneducated people can make about money and debt and things of that nature. But if they are saved and they read the Word of God, God can give them wisdom even in their business dealings. It's important to cultivate the mind of those who hear the Word of God. Verse number 5. If we listen and if we are teachable, then God's Word can help us. I've met a lot of people in my 41 years as a pastor who were not bad people, but they were not teachable. You could not teach them something because they had their mind made up from here to here what they were going to do and not going to do. No matter what you said, they were not teachable to show them what God's Word had to say. Preachers and teachers, when people don't hear what they want to hear, the New Testament says, to Paul wrote to Timothy, that they will be times when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they want teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, not what thus saith the Lord. Men will flock to a smooth-tongued orator who tells them what they want to hear. There's no rebuke of sinful ways. There's no submission required to truth. Paul wrote Timothy and said they turn to fables. And people like fables. And when they're lost, they like them more than they do the Word of God. Proverbs will sharpen our sword. It will improve our knowledge. It will cause us to study the truth that aligns us with wise counsels. And fruit will be the product that will bring honor and glory to God. God asked Solomon, what do you want? You think God could trust you with that? If He asked you, what do you want? What do you want? $1 million? That won't go very far anymore, will it? When I was young, that was the big thing. Boy, I want to be a millionaire, you know. Well, He didn't ask for great riches. He didn't ask for great power. He asked for an understanding mind and heart to rightfully judge God's people. And God was pleased with that request. May God be pleased with our requests. And may He give us what we need more than what we want. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight. We ask Your blessings upon them as they travel home. Keep them safe. Keep us all safe from this virus that's going around, Lord. We hear more and more issues taking place. And it's time for school to start back. We're concerned about our school-age children and the college-age kids. And we pray for Thy divine help and intervention. This election will be here before we know it. We need You to choose the president, Lord. We pray You'll give us what we need and not what we deserve. And we pray for Your help and wisdom. Lord, give us that wisdom that'll help us to make the right choices and to be spiritual people. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.